Good morning. This is Fred Gillenwater, pastor of Russell Road Church in Sydney. We appreciate you joining us this morning and the opportunity to serve you. Our services are Saturday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 9:30, and 11 a.m. If you would like to contact us, please visit www.russellroadchurch.com or call us at 492-6412.
Become yourself. Because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by.
We are going to continue. Antichrist spirit. What's anti mean? To be opposed, to be against, to challenge. So, anti what? Christ. What's Christ mean? Christos. That means the anointing. So, anti-anointing. In 1 John chapter 2, it talks about the anointing. And it talks about the spirit of the Antichrist has already gone out into the world. So, there's the spirit of Antichrist working in the church, in our life, all around us. And so, what we're doing is we're raising our level of consciousness to this spirit of Antichrist. And remember, I've been teaching you not to be looking at it and for it in other people, but to look within yourself to see what you're doing, not in other people. Because we've all operated in an Antichrist spirit, all of us, at one time or another. What we want to do is we want to get away from that, and we want to get in and let the truth do its work in us, and then the anointing can increase in our life. The anointing is where the influence is. When you have the anointing, now you're effective. And your influence on others and the body of Christ and the kingdom of God is advancing because you are being willing to receive the truth and let the truth do in you what God has called you to. Because the Bible says God desires truth in our most inward parts. It says he's coming for our church that will do what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is constantly trying to get you to the truth. But what happens is people get into where the truth is and they don't want to change. And see, that's it. The truth says you have to change. And so what we'll do is we'll go around and we'll do something else to avoid the truth. Because the truth's saying I have to change. And so the idea is we get into groups. Remember? We talked about these different ways to identify the Antichrist. And the one was a novice. That's when somebody's transplanted. Maybe they were an elder or a leader in a church in California and they come here and you put them in that position, they'll be full of pride and full of themselves because they need time to develop here before they get put up in a position of leadership. So what happens is pride and that's an Antichrist spirit. And then the flesh, being fleshly. Remember Paul talked about, he says, I can't teach you spiritual things. I can only give you that which is carnal, fleshly, because you're not ready for spiritual things. And they were competitive, always competing, trying to be one up on somebody or outdo somebody. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. And so the idea is that's a spirit of Antichrist and sectarian. Remember the groups? Remember these groups they raise up in the church? And one said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And the other group said, I'm of Christ. Another group said, I'm of Cephas. And Cephas was Peter. Different groups raise up. And Paul or Apollos or Christ never started any of those groups. They just evolved out of ignorance. And see, that's what happens. In a church that's growing and where God is doing something, these things will just evolve. And that's why we're speaking to it. We're identifying it so that we can recognize it and we don't go there. We stay in the truth. We want to be a place that's full of grace and full of truth. That's what we want to do. We want to be an environment where grace is extended. Remember 1 Peter 4:10, the word to extend the manifold grace which has been given to us to one another. So in other words, people that come here, we want to give them grace and have it so they can come into this environment and hear the truth so the truth can work in them and they have the time to develop and make right decisions and become what God created them to be. Because the local church is where that takes place. The body of Christ. You can't go off and do your own thing and go from church to church to church to church and become what God created you to do and fulfill His plan and purpose in your life. You have to get into a body where the truth is going out, and you have to get connected and let God do His work in you. Because, see, God uses people, and He'll use difficult people in your life to expose some things to you where you need to change. And that's what people avoid. But you see, what we want to do is we want to create an environment where we don't judge or criticize or condemn, but we extend grace. You know, the truth is working in them. Well, they're still doing it. It doesn't matter if you're a prostitute, an alcoholic, a drug addict. It doesn't matter what your past was, prison, whatever. When you get into the right environment and you say, I'm going to stay there and I'm going to remain under that word where the grace of God is, then you know what? You are going to become everything God created you to be. And you're going to fulfill His plan and purpose. The Bible says in Titus 2:11, it says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to us to teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this present evil age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, who loved us and gave Himself for us, and who will redeem us from every lawless deed and purify us, and that we would be zealous for good works. You see, that's what happens in the body of Christ. He purifies you and He works on you, so you're zealous to do what He's called and created you to do. You can't do what He created you to do apart from the body. Don't tell me you belong to the universal church and you're not willing to be plugged into the local church. You're going to keep doing your own thing, and the spirit of Antichrist is working through you. And it's bringing division and problems wherever you try to do your own thing. If we're willing to understand this and grow in this and hang in there, and create that environment, see? That's what this has got to be an environment where we extend grace and let the truth and the Holy Spirit do His work, not people. We don't judge people. We don't say, you know, well, you should be at this place and do this and do this. Uh-uh. The Holy Spirit will do it. You know what? You want to be in an environment like that. You want to be there. Do you see that? You want to go. I can't wait to get there because it's real. Right? It's authentic. And that's what we want to do. We want to keep this environment. Remember when I talked about the seed that they found in those Egyptian tombs? Remember that? And that seed had been in those tombs for 3,000 years and concealed. But now when they took that seed and they planted it in the right environment, it flourished and grew and produced. You see, that's what it is. We need to create the body of Christ. It's the right environment where you have been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because the flesh is as the grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. For the grass withers and the flower fades away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. You see that? And then when we create that environment, see, now the potential that was in that seed was released. And that's the same way it is in you and I. The potential in us that God longs to see comes out, and it happens in our life. And when we understand this, folks, it removes so much stuff that I don't have to act and be fake and phony. I can come here and be me. And when you're extended that grace, man, that's healthy, isn't it? We all got stuff, right? We're all a work in progress. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. We are addressing this ear tickler. So that's what we're looking at. He says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. Okay, remember we talked about self-commending, sectarian, competitive, undue preoccupation with trivia. It was our last week. Last week we closed up with ear ticklers, but that's where we're going to start, and then we're going to get into seducers and deceivers. Well, that sounds bad, doesn't it? But remember, it's not that we're looking for this in other people. It's within ourselves. That's what we want to be aware of. We don't have a magnifying glass on somebody else, but we're looking in our own hearts. Now look at this. Look what Paul says. He says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he said, I charge you. And that word charge is a military word, and it means strict instructions. I'm giving you strict instructions, okay, before God. Remember the word before? It literally means to be in presence and in eyesight. So we are in the presence of God, and we're in the eyesight of God. God is looking at us when we gather here. Remember, I told you, that puts the fear of God in me. To stand up here and speak God's word over you all, I'm telling you what, that's a major responsibility. And so he says, I'm giving you strict instructions before God because my eyes are on you and you're in my presence. Look what he says. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Then he says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Preach the word. Preach means to herald or to proclaim or to make known. Preach this word. What word? This word right here. Because this is the word of God. That's what he's talking about, the Logos, the true word of God. He says, preach the word in season and out of season. In season what? Means what? In good times. Out of season means bad times. So he's looking for people who are committed, who will preach in good times and in bad times. And that's what a minister is to do. No matter what the circumstances are, he's to continue to preach the word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. Preach the Word. Amen? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That's what we want this place to be, a place where the Word of God is going forth. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, it says he upholds all things by the word of his power. Preach the Word. And that's why when you come here, that's what we're going to do. The Word of God has the power to change things. It's living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You come in here and stuff comes off of you. Why? Because the Word of God is working. Everything, all hell will come against you before you come to church sometime to try to keep you from getting there. You know why? Because the Word's going forth. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will endure forever. The enemy will do everything he can to keep you from an environment where the word and the truth is going forth. And that's why he says, preach the word. In season and out. And then he says, convince. And the word convince means to reprove. And the word reprove and convince means to speak out with the facts about the problems in the church. To demonstrate a point. And that's what we're doing. We're showing where the Antichrist is working and it can create problems. So what we're doing is we're bringing that up and we're speaking against it. We're doing it right along with what the word says. Now look at this. Then he says, rebuke. And the word rebuke means to sharply oppose someone to make an example of. And rebuke is really a merciful term. Because what you do when you rebuke somebody is you let them know and you help them understand that they're in error. And you're not saying out, get out, or you're not, you're just saying, hey, you're in error here. We want to help you. We got mercy and grace for you, no matter what you're doing. We're going to help you. We're going to give you some rebuke. You see? That's a merciful term. Now look at this. And now stay with me in chapter 4, 2 Timothy 2, or 2 Timothy chapter 4. Go with me to 2 Timothy 2:17 real quick. Verse 17, it says, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Phyllis are of this sort. He says their message will spread like cancer. You see, that's why you got to deal with it. Whose message? Hymenaeus and Phyllis. You know what? They were disciples of Paul. They walked with Paul. Paul encouraged them. Paul loved them. Paul assisted them. Paul helped them. They were his disciples. Now, they're opposing him. They're doing their own thing. You see that? The very ones sometimes that are walking beside you will turn on you. That's why you got to understand this. And so what happens is, he says their message will spread like cancer. Cancer will destroy, right? If you do the research on cancer in the Greek language, it talks about gangrene. And gangrene is anything you cut that off, right? So the idea is you got to cut it off. You got to cut that message off. Am I making sense? Go back with me to 2 Timothy 2:4 or chapter 4. So now he says, exhort. The word exhort is the Greek word parakleo. The word for Holy Spirit in the Greek language is parakletos. Para, P-A-R-A, means to walk alongside of. So when you exhort somebody, you walk alongside of. And kleo, this is what kleo means, to call out their name. Convince and rebuke was public ministry. Now he's getting personal, exhort. Now this is personal ministry. He says, walk alongside these folks and call out their name and exhort them. See, sometimes you have to exhort people and really get close to them, but he says, with all long suffering. In other words, there's going to be some difficult people that you have to work with. But in the same time, those difficult people are working on you and helping you to become what God created you to be. That's what we avoid sometimes, see? He says with long suffering. Long suffering is always towards people. Patience is always conditions and circumstances. Long suffering is always towards people. He says, exhort them with all long suffering. There's going to be times that some people just don't want to change. They keep doing the same thing over and over and over. You know what? There's times you just need to say, all right, that's it. I mean, you keep working with them, and they're going to do the same thing over. You can't invest all your time in one person and all your energies because it'll drain you. But he says, exhort them with long suffering. And this is the way we're to do. All of us, not just the preacher, all of us with long suffering towards people, because people can be difficult, but we're to treat people the way God treats people. See? And that's what we need, grace and mercy and help and some love, right? All right. Now, long suffering is the Greek word makrothumos, which is where the macros, where we get macaroni. And that means long. And thumos means passion. So you're going to have be long and extended in your passions towards helping people. You see that? That's descriptive. You're going to have to be long in your passions in helping. Keep your passions burning in helping people. And sometimes that passion can be put out, can't it? By somebody who just keeps taking advantage of you and doesn't want to do. Huh? I see some of you nudging your husbands and your wives. Now look at this. And teaching. That's why we teach. We teach on Wednesday night. That's why I'm teaching now. We need good teaching. We need to teach. Not because I'm a good teacher. I'm breaking the word of God down to you. Amen? That's what we're doing. Teaching. Now look at this. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So now look at this. It says the time's coming when they won't endure sound doctrine. And remember, the word sound is the word sozo, which means what? Saved and salvation. And so in other words, they don't want to endure the very thing that God is trying to save them with and show them their salvation. Because it hurts sometimes. Salvation can be difficult and painful. And endure means you got to go through something. Endure sound doctrine. The teaching, doctrine is teaching. Teaching the word of God, which is able to save your soul. James 1:21 says it's the implanted word that is able to save your soul. The very word that is in you and it's planted in you and it is growing and developing something inside of you. And that's what God is trying to do. He's trying to get his word within you to develop you and show you who you are and what he's called you to do. And he says, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. Itching means curious. They hear something. Oh, they go and they start listening to somebody and saying something and getting them away from what God was trying to get them to. And it makes them feel good. Oh, this is what I need to be over here. And they go there. And it starts to work on them and they start to like it. It strokes their flesh. It makes them feel good. And then verse 4 says, to be turned aside. And it says, and they will turn their ears away from the what? Help me out. What? And be turned aside to what? Fables. The word turned aside means to dislocate. They've dislocated themselves from the body of Christ, where the real development was trying to take place in their life. Because you can't be developed if you're not connected. You can be in the body and not be properly connected to the head. But you can't be properly connected to the head and not be in the body. See, those itching ears and the things that get our curiosity, watch out. Well, they are looking for what's going to stroke your flesh. And then what happens is it makes it easy on you. And then what you do is you like easy. And so that's where you like to go, is where it's easy. Now we're going to move forward and we're going to get to number 8. And that's the seducers, deceivers, and manipulators. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. They were having problems in the Galatians church. And back in 2 Timothy, it says they will heap up for themselves teachers. In other words, they find a bunch of people that they're starting to listen to that stroke their flesh. But there was one trying to really help them out. So they pull away from that one. They were having this problem in the church. And this was, they were problem with deceivers, seducers, and manipulators. And this is what he says. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the what? These people were in the church and they were doing that, speaking and trying to stroke people to get them to not obey the truth. And he says, who has bewitched you? This is what the word bewitched is. It's the Greek word boskino. It means to have a hypnotic ability. In other words, these people are so steeped in what they're doing and what they think they know that they have a hypnotic ability. It works like a hypnosis on you when they talk to you. Oh, yeah, you know, I can relate to that. You know, your flesh is just feeling all good, you know. Yeah, that's a man, I want to hear some of that. That makes me feel good. See, they have a hypnotic ability. And really, it's pulling you away from obeying the truth. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, he said, let no one preach any other gospel. He said, if anyone comes with any other gospel other than the gospel of Christ, he said, Christ. Remember, what's Christ mean? Anointing. That's what God is trying to produce in all of us. John chapter 2, learn from the anointing. You have the anointing. It says, if anyone preaches any other gospel other than the gospel of Christ, that's the anointing. That's what God's trying to develop in you. He says, let them be accursed. The word accursed means not fit to be on the face of the earth. That's why when Jehovah's Witness come to my door and knock on the door, I go to the door and I'll get my Bible and I say, okay, come on, we'll go to the next house. I'll give them 20 minutes and you give them 20 minutes and we'll let them decide what they want to do. And most of the time, they don't go. They get in their car and leave. And then I had Mormons come from Utah. And they came and these four guys, said they want to, well, we're going to go ahead with you. We believe in Jesus. I said, okay, well, let's go. So after 5 houses, they said, man, we got to get out of here. This guy's too much. They talk about Jesus. And you know what? You'll think you're talking to somebody who really believes what you believe. Because they'll talk about Jesus. But you know what? When you start talking about the Holy Spirit, it says the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. You see, when you start talking about the Holy Spirit, well, we don't believe in that born again Holy Spirit stuff. That's an antichrist spirit. That's why we got to know. And I'm not just talking about them. It's in here. It's in me. It's in you sometimes. You see that? But God is trying to develop that anointing in you so you have influence and fulfill his plan and purpose. You can't do it without the anointing. And we're going to get into this anointing in the days ahead. Go with me now to Colossians chapter 2. It's talking about seducers, deceivers, and manipulators. Verse 4. Now, this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Now, they were having the same problem in the Colossians church. Deceivers, seducers, and manipulators in there. And he says, they're going to try to deceive you with what? Persuasive words. That word persuasive also means enticing. Some of yours says enticing words. So that's what happens. Enticing means to lure away. And if you do the Greek meaning of the word entice, means to lure away and to be brought from under a rock. It was a fisherman's term. And they would lure fish away out from under the rock. They would dangle it in front of the rock. And the rock is Christ. And ultimately, that's the goal of these people, is to get you away from the rock. And so they'll use words to deceive you, to speak and try to get you away. And they're persuasive with it. Now, go with me down to verse 8. It says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to what? Christ. What's Christ? The anointing. See? Because they're doing everything, but it's not in line with the anointing. That's why Paul said, beware. And he said, cheat. lest anyone cheat you. This word cheat, it's the word cheat or spoil. And it means to decay, to rot, or to corrupt. But it also means to carry off stolen goods. And it also means to kidnap. And it was used to describe a thief. He was a cheater, and he was one who spoils people. And in the Greek culture, they would take these people and they would put them on the stand because they committed a crime. They were called thieves. And he would stand up there and they would find him guilty and he would start persuading them, telling them, you know I'm wrong and I know I did wrong, but I'm going to keep the stuff I have. Can I keep the stuff I have? He would start persuading the judge and the jury to keep the stuff he stole. Persuasive and entice. Now get a hold of this. Think about this. Cheat or spoil who? You. They don't want your stuff. They want you. They want to control you. They want to manipulate you. And that's why Paul says, beware lest anyone cheat you. Through philosophy. Remember the word philosophy is philo, is the man's kind of love. And Sophie is the wisdom of the world. Man's wisdom is what philosophy means. And philo is love. It means to be in love with man's wisdom. They're so in love with what they know, and they won't back away from it. See, that's what philosophy, you could say, to be in love with what you know. And it's not about God's wisdom or God's idea. And empty deceit, according to what? The tradition of men. The Bible says the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. According to the basic principles of the world and not according to what? One more time. Christ. See, it's not in line with the anointing. Now, go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit, capital S, that means the Holy Spirit. Capital S means the Holy Spirit. Now the Spirit expressingly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now look at that. Now the Spirit expressingly says. That word expressingly means to speak clearly and to help understand. I think the Holy Spirit is speaking clearly here today. How about you? That's how you know you're in a place where the Spirit is. The Spirit speaks clearly and you understand it. Expressingly. Now the Spirit expressingly says. He speaks clearly. Now look at that. That in the latter times, he's letting us know that people are going to depart from the faith. Remember the word depart? The word depart is a sailor's term. And when sailors would have their anchor out, they would pull up the anchor and they'd say, it's time to depart. So people who were anchored in the faith, these deceiving spirits, are moving them away and they're causing them to depart from the faith. Their souls were anchored in the faith. But now, because of this seducing and manipulating spirits, are causing them to take up the anchor and move away from the faith. And the faith is the faith. One Lord, one faith, one God, one baptism. In the faith. The faith is where the revealed word of God is made known. Is where the revealed word of God is made known. The faith. To depart from the faith. Giving heed to deceiving spirits. Remember that word heed? It means this, and we're going to close. It means to turn your head in a different direction. Oh, you start listening to something that's not taking you in the direction God is trying to take you, and you give heed to it. And then it says it means to be preoccupied with a notion. So now I'm preoccupied with what I'm hearing, and it's moving me away from the faith. And that's the goal of a manipulator, a deceiver, and a seducing spirit. And that's the spirit of an antichrist. That's the spirit of the antichrist.
They see the truth before they can die.
Teach your parents well. Their children's hell will slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams. The one they picked.
You have been listening to the radio broadcast of Russell Road Church. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. We close today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you.